celebration of the Christian faith, just celebrating the fulfillment of God's promise between himself and humanity, of him sending his son Jesus to die on the cross, but not to just stay dead, but to resurrect. And so this morning, my hope is, no matter where you're at, so whether you're here this morning and you're like, I grew up in church, or you're here this morning and you've never, church was just never your thing, my hope this morning is by the time we're done, that you would understand the significance of the empty tomb. And so I got one verse for you. It's going to be found in John chapter 20, verse 1 through 8. And it says this: early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we want to know where they put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Can you say first? Reached the tomb first. Verse 5, he bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, I love this part, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and he believed. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into the message. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your faithfulness and your kindness to us. Lord, I pray that within the next few moments together, God, that you would be magnified, you would be glorified, God. But you would also open up our hearts so that we would see the significance of the empty tomb. Holy Spirit, we recognize you as our guest of honor. Do what only you can do. We ask that we would leave here changed, we would leave here better, but not for our own benefit, but so that we can change the world around us. And so we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Come on, everyone, say it. Amen. 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 So I'm going to say something extremely controversial, okay? You're like, why did I bring friends? I'm going to say something extremely controversial. Here we go. I don't believe that there is such thing, ready, as participation trophies. There, I said it. You can hate me all you want. I said it. I don't think there's anything, there's no such thing as a participation trophy. And I suppose the reason in which I think that is because of how I was raised. Now, I was raised with the understanding that there was only one place, and that's first place. And if you ain't first place, then you're in last place. Come on. Come on, my Gen X people. Yes, my baby boomers. And so I grew up with this understanding that if you ain't first, you're last. And so what it did to me, it created a competitive monster inside of me. I am competitive by nature, but here's the worst part. I am competitive with people who don't even know they're competing with me. You ever done that? In fact, there was this one time I was in the gym, okay? And I'm on the treadmill. And you know, like when you're starting off on the treadmill, you just got good form, you know, because you ain't tired yet. You're just like, and you know it. You're like, I feel good. I look good. You know, just, you know, doing your thing. Your speed's at like 4.5. It's not a heavy sweat, but it's still a sweat. And so I'm on the treadmill, and I'm just, you know, I'm like just straight Baywatching it, just looking good. Hey, why do you guys know about that? Chill, okay? We're in church. And so I'm running on the treadmill, and out of nowhere, this guy comes into the gym. And out of the sea of empty treadmills, homeboy decides to come run right next to me. So he gets on the treadmill, and he looks at me, he smiles, and he sets his treadmill, and he's starting to go. And I'm like, cool, you know, we're pretty much like at 4.5 together. And I see him, he kind of looks over to me, and he looks over, and he's like, So now all of a sudden, he's like going faster. And I'm like, oh no, he did it. And so like, I'm like, doo, 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 doo. And so now I'm running faster. And then he turned his up more. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so pretty soon we're at like a full on sprint, man. He's running and you can tell dude's in shape. He's running and I'm like, and I'm trying, I got asthma, you know? And so like, you know, like all of a sudden when you're really tired, your form is not beautiful. All of a sudden you start running like this. Yeah. And so like, I am dying. And finally he stops. So I'm like, I stop, I get off the treadmill and I'm like, I feel like I have to throw up. I like overexerted myself. And I'm like, I remember just getting off the treadmill and thinking, what in the world? Like, I just wanted to collapse. But the whole reason why I did that was because I refused to lose. I find it interesting that deep within each and every one of us, there's this thing inside of us that hates to lose. I've never met anybody that's like, I love losing. Nobody, ever. And so nobody likes to lose. But here's the crazy thing, is that if you examine your life, every single person, though we hate to lose, has at one time or another experienced losing. And here's why I bring this up. In the story that we read in John chapter 20 in verse 1 through 8, woven deep within the Easter story is a competition between two guys. And these two guys, they're not just anybody. They're Jesus's disciples. And they're running and they're racing. They're competitive with one another. And so this morning, within the next few moments together, what I want us to do is I want us to look at both John and Peter in the relation in relation to the empty tomb, because I believe that every single person that's in this room, every single person that's online this morning, that you would be able to identify with either Peter or John. Because here's what I discovered as I was reading the text. Within those eight verses, both Peter and John experienced loss. They both experienced losing. But just like every single person in this room, they didn't experience losing in the same way. And so I'm gonna share with you the two ways that each of them lost, and hopefully point you to the empty tomb and the significance of the empty tomb when it feels like you're losing, when it feels like I'm losing. So a quick recap of the story. Jesus, he just died. He was hung on the cross. He's dead. This guy named Joseph, he comes and he gets Jesus off of the cross. He puts Jesus in this tomb. He seals it up and then he goes about his way. At the start of the verse we read in John chapter 20 and verse 1, we see Mary Magdalene, she goes to the tomb. And she gets to the tomb, and what she discovers, it's startling because she realizes that the stone is no longer in front of the tomb. And in fact, she realizes that there's nobody in the tomb. And so she kind of freaks out, and she goes to her friends, John and Peter, and she's like, John and Peter, Jesus is not in the tomb anymore. See, she forgot that he was, like he said he wasn't going to be in there. So she's panicking. She's like, man, somebody stole Jesus. And John and Peter, they're like, let's go check it out. And so in verse 3, it says that John and Peter, they started towards the tomb. But there's something that happened between verse 3 and verse 4, because what started off to the tomb in verse 3 ends up in verse 4 that they're running to the tomb. It's as if Peter and John were like, all right, we got to get there. Come on, let's go. And then one started walking faster, and then the other one started walking faster, and then all of a sudden they're like a full-on sprint. And you know it was competitive because the author says that he outran Peter. And so he said that the other reached the tomb first. Now, here's what's funny, is that the author of what we just read in John chapter 20 is the person that is the other in the text. And so it's funny because John is writing about himself, and he's like, basically he's saying, I outran Peter. He was like throwing shade to Peter. He's gassing himself up. He's like, I got to the tomb first. And so John, he reaches the tomb first. And so if John reaches the tomb first, that means that Peter reached the tomb last, second. Which is last. Great job. And so here is John. He gets to the tomb. Peter gets to the tomb last. And this is the first instance that I want to share with you about losing. I want to submit to you this morning that Peter lost the race. And it had to do with him physically losing. Physically getting to the tomb second. Now, we don't know much about John or Peter, but we do know that for some reason, John ran faster than Peter. So at some point, we could assume that John was in better shape than Peter. At some point, we could assume that John, maybe he ate his Wheaties more. Maybe he was more lean than Peter. Maybe there was an age difference. We don't know, but we do know that John was physically faster than Peter, which created this opportunity for Peter to lose. And so the reason why I bring this up is because I wonder this morning if anybody in this room, anyone who's viewing us online, if you know what it feels like to be Peter. If you know what it feels like to be second, not that you're ever trying to be second, but it just seems like no matter what you do, no matter what you try your hardest, but it seems like it's never enough. Like you try hard to be that good parent, but then all of a sudden, man, you just lose it on your kids. You try to be that better spouse, but then, man, you just fail at that. And it's not that you want to fail, but there's something, and you just keep failing. Like, you keep losing. You keep coming in second. Like, whatever you're trying to reach, whatever your goal is, it seems like you always come up short. And so if this is you, if this is you, and if you would identify with Peter, I got great news for you. The empty tomb is for you. Now. So here we are, the empty tomb. Peter, he experiences this physical losing. But then you get John. And in verse 5, it says that John, he reached the tomb first. And when he got to the tomb, he did something very interesting. It says that he stooped down and he looked inside the tomb. But he didn't go in. And then it says in verse 6 or verse 7 that while John was crouching looking in, Peter bypassed John and he became the first one in the tomb. So now John has experienced loss. John now is second place. Now, here's what's interesting. If you can't identify with Peter, maybe you can identify with John. Because John, again, he was, at least in this moment, he was physically better than Peter. So I wonder if you can't identify with Peter, if you can identify with John. In the sense that on the outside, you look good. On the outside, man, everybody's like, ooh, I want to be like you. You got the car, you got the house, you got the job, you got the family. And on the outside, it looks like you have everything that you could ever need. But on the inside, if people only knew how stressed out you were, if you were honest, if people only knew how many sleepless nights you have because there's so much weight on your shoulders. See, I was looking up why didn't John go into the tomb, and a consistent theme, from commentators of why John didn't go in the tomb, they said because he was afraid of the repercussions. So John, though he was physically there first, because of what was taking place internally, he wasn't able to go in further. And because he wasn't able to go in further, like Peter was able to bypass him, and John wasn't able to go into the tomb because there was something internally that was preventing him from going forward. And friends, if we are not careful, there are things, like we will look good on the outside, but we will be miserable dying on the inside. And so if you can identify with John this morning, maybe on the outside you look good, but on the inside you're being tormented, I need you to know the empty tomb is for you. And so here is John and Peter. They both experience loss. They both experience what it means to lose. But they both experience losing in different ways, in a different manner, in a different fashion. But here's what I find fascinating is that they're both drawn to this empty tomb. And the empty tomb this morning, I need you to understand that the empty tomb is significant because the empty tomb is a reminder of the hope and the power and the grace and the mercy that we have in God. And so here is John and Peter, and I want to read verse 8. I don't know, Josh, if you can pull up verse 8. If you can, I'd appreciate that. If not, y'all just going to have to trust me. It says this, John chapter 20, verse 8. It says, finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. And then look at this. This is interesting. It says he saw and believed. It says he saw and believed. That's kind of weird though, right? Like he saw and believed, because if you remember, three verses before in verse 5, he looked in already. So it's like, wait a second, like, this time he saw and believed, but like then three verses before, it said he looked in, he saw, but there was no believing. And I began thinking, why was he able to see one time and was believing? And then why the other time he was able to look and he saw nothing? And there's no believing. Here's what I think it is. Because the empty tomb is something that you are to experience, not observe. In verse 5, he just observed it. But in verse 8, he stepped into it. He went inside of the tomb. And this morning, I need you to know, whether you're churched, whether you're unchurched, that the story of Easter, the empty tomb, is not something that we just observe, but it's something that we have the opportunity to experience. See, because the tomb is a reminder that my God is a God that speaks life into things that I thought was dead. And so for some of you in here this morning, you need to understand that God wants to speak hope into your hopeless situation. He's there to give you peace. He's there to give you joy. He's there to help you internally. But it doesn't happen by observing. It happens by experiencing, by stepping into it, by saying, Jesus, I've tried everything. I've tried to be a good dad. I've tried to be a good husband. I've tried to be a good boss. I've tried to be a good student. I just can't do it on my own. Jesus, I need you. And in that moment, he does something inside of you. And that moment of anxiousness and fear, like if we don't just observe, but we experience, there's something that he wants to do inside of your heart and in your mind. So this morning, I need you to know, no matter where you are at, the churched, unchurched, believe in Jesus, I don't believe in Jesus, I need you to know that there is a God that loves you, that he loves you so much that he was willing to send his son Jesus to die on the cross. And here's the best part. Jesus died while you were in your worst state. So while you were still jacked up, come on. Scripture says that while you were still messed up, while you were still jacked up, while you were still strung out on drugs, while you were still strung on alcohol, while you were still on your OnlyFans account, like he died for you. In his love for you, it does something inside of you. He's not waiting for you to be perfect, because we would all still be waiting. He's not waiting for you to be holy. He's just waiting for you to experience him. Friends, the empty tomb is for you this morning.